Well, tonight we're going to talk about something a little bit different. Been just kind of like praying this week and talking to God, and just kind of as I've had conversations with different people, one thing that's been really heavy on my heart this week that I feel like the Lord just keeps bringing to my attention is that there are just like a lot of people hurting. Like, I don't know if you guys have noticed that, but like maybe some of you even tonight are here and you're like, amen, like that's me. Like, I'm going through some things, and it just feels like we're in that time, right? After the holidays, and like things are coming around that people are just kind of hurting, and people are asking the question, like, what happens when I hurt? Like, how do I find healing? How do I get through this season of my life right now? And so tonight, I just kind of dug into the Bible and just looked at some things, and like, what does God say about it? Like, what is it? How do we deal with times when we're hurting, or how do we ask God for healing? And so if you're here tonight, you're like, man, that is totally me. Take some notes, pay attention. Like, I hope the Lord has something to say to you tonight. But one thing I did notice as we were like looking through this is that God so often does a thing in our lives, like that miraculous thing or that answer to prayer, when people are like obeying him. When you're like in an act of obedience, right? Like in the middle of your faith where you're like, God's like, do this, and you're doing this thing. All of a sudden, then God steps in and he does that miracle or he answers that prayer. But it's usually not like the before part. And a lot of times when we pray to God, right, we go to him, we're like, listen, Lord, I need you to do this thing. We expect once I do that, all of a sudden, that equals an answer. I pray, and then he does a thing, right? But that's just not usually what we see in scripture. What we see is like, I pray, God's like, go do this. I'm like, wait, but I just asked you for a thing. He's like, I know. Now I'm asking you for a thing. And then in the middle of you doing that and obeying, that's when the answer tends to come. And I'll prove it to you, right? Like the disciples, that Jesus is like, hey, I'm going to do this miracle. Here's what I want you to do. He's like, wait, I thought you were doing the miracle. He's like, no, I want you to go get that dude, that little kid over there. He's got this basket lunch. Just got like fish and bread in it, just enough for him. I want you to go get it and start handing it out. He's like, I'm going to feed everybody. And they're like, wait, what? And so, okay, Jesus, like, I guess we'll go do it. So they take his basket and they're looking in and it's still just like the same measly little lunch. And they're like, nothing's happening. And they start handing it out. Still just looks like the same lunch, and they start handing out. And then all of a sudden, the more they hand out, the more they're like, wait a minute, it's not going away. Like, how is there still more? And as they're doing the action, right, of obeying Jesus and just handing out what looks like this tiny little bit, thousands of people get fed. And then when they're done, guess what happens? He's like, all right, go collect all the leftovers. The leftovers didn't even fit in like all of these baskets he made them like go get. But it wasn't until they started handing out and obeying Jesus and handing that food out that the answer to prayer came, that the miracle happened. The Red Sea, right? The Red Sea didn't just like, they got there. Before they got there, God conveniently just like rolls it back and it's like this beautiful thing, like this clear walkway and all this stuff. Like, no, they got there like, we're gonna die. Like, the Egyptians are right behind us. The ocean, like this Red Sea is still in front of us. What's gonna happen? And God's like, Moses, I want you to do a thing. It wasn't until Moses obeyed, put that staff in the water, all of a sudden the Red Sea just like splits, right? But there was this moment of like, is God really going to show up here? And it wasn't until faith activated and people obeyed what God was saying that he actually decided to answer that prayer. Like, the Israelites had to cross these rivers at different points, and he would tell the priest, I want you guys to literally step into the river, and I'll separate the river so you guys can walk through. And it wasn't until those priests literally took their feet and put them in the water that God decided to go ahead and separate those rivers. Lepers were healed, right? But almost every time a leper was healed, Jesus is like, hey, I want you to go dunk in this river. And like, he could have just been like, boom, you're just healed. But he didn't. He's like, you go do a thing. But Jesus, I asked you to heal me. Now it's your turn, right? He's like, no, it's your turn still. Go dunk in the river. And as they're dunking in the river, then he does the miracle. Over and over and over again, we pray, Jesus gives us something to do, and as we obey him, then we see the answer to this prayer. There's this woman who was sick for like 12 years. She comes up to Jesus in the middle of this crowd, and she just like reaches out and touches the hem of his gown. And when she does that, she's healed. It was in the middle of her action of faith that God decided to do the miracle and to heal her. Over and over and over through scripture, we see story after story of God's faithfulness, right? And his power, but it shows up when we're actually obeying him and doing the thing he's called us to do. So you're here tonight, you're like, listen, man, like, I'm hurting. I need God to do some healing in my heart tonight. What is he asking you to do? What's this act of faith that he wants you to do that he can then go, all right, now you're ready for me to heal you. Now you're ready for the answer to the prayer. Now I've prepared your heart to actually receive what I have for you. But he usually wants us to show that obedience first, right? We just think he's Santa, like, oh, just give me whatever I want, whenever I want it, and answer these prayers. And if you don't, man, you and I are going to have words, God, because like I'm going to be really mad at you. And he's like, that's just not how it works. I care about molding you and turning you into something amazing and transforming you. And sometimes the pain you're feeling is a part of that process and journey. And so he uses it for your good. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, there's this prophecy about Jesus. It says, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You guys might have heard that verse. It's a really popular verse. It's on like Christian t-shirts and coffee mugs and the whole deal. That healing on its wings is such a beautiful picture. And what Malachi, the prophet, was saying is that there is a day the Son of Righteousness, Jesus, the Messiah, is going to come. And he's going to blow the world away because he's going to have healing in his wings. And if you look up the word wings, though, okay, it's actually a word that can be translated a couple different things. It's the word kanaf. And kanaf could be wings, but it could also mean fringe, hem, or edge. Basically, like the rabbis, like Old Testament, like they would wear these like gowns that would have these like fringy things that would like hang way down off the bottom of their gown. And it symbolized who they were. And so Jesus actually probably dressed very similar and had these fringes that hung off of his gown, the hem of his gown. Then we talk about that woman, right? Who was sick for 12 years. And she comes up to Jesus. Let's read about her story real quick in Luke 8, verses 42 to 48. Let's hear what happens 400 years later after Malachi makes this prophecy of this Messiah that would have healing in the fringes of his gown, basically, not really his wings. It says this, for he had, as Jesus went, the people pressed around him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she couldn't be healed by anybody. So she came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. And immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, who was it that touched me? When all denied it, Peter said, Master, the crowd surround you and are pressing in on you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. For I perceive that the power has gone out from me. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Healing always tends to come in the middle of faith. God's miracles tend to come in the middle of obedience and faith. Here's this woman, right? And so she's sick for 12 years. And Jesus right now has already started his ministry. He's doing miracles. People are all over the place around him. Everybody wants to see him. Everybody wants to hear him talk. Everybody wants to see like a miracle happen, right? And so the people are just pressed in. And all of a sudden, Jesus stops the crowd. And he's like, hey, who touched me? His disciples are like, Jesus, are you nuts? Like, everybody's touching you. People are bumping into you left and right. Look at how pressed in we are here. We're all packed together. He's like, no. I'm talking about something else. I'm not asking who just like randomly bumped into me. Somebody intentionally touched me. Something powerful just happened. He's like, I felt the power leave me. You see, Jesus knew that someone hadn't just been hanging out with him and bumped into him randomly, was just there being in his presence. Someone intentionally showed an act of faith and reached out and touched that fringe, that hem of his garment. Little did that woman know that she would be healed in that moment, but she believed it. She believed it would happen. She had the faith for it to happen. He tells her later. But she had no idea she was fulfilling the prophecy of Malachi from 400 years later that he would be the son of righteousness that would have healing in the fringe of his garment. And there's this woman proving it. She was immediately healed after 12 years. So many of us are just hanging out with Jesus. We're like, yeah, man, I'm tight with Jesus. Like I bump into him all the time at church. And like, sometimes I'll throw my Bible out there and read some random verses. Like, you know, I have Christian friends. My family's Christian. And what we're doing really is we're just bumping into Jesus. We feel all pressed in, right? We're in the crowd. We're at church. We're in worship services. We hear the pastor preach all the time. We come to Firehouse. Some of us go to a Christian school. I'm bumping up against Jesus all the time. I'm in the crowd. But how many of us are actually reaching out? Touching Jesus in a way that makes a difference. We really get to know him. Where we really take our faith and trust and believe in him. This one woman was commended for doing that out of all of the people that were all around Jesus. This one woman. Which one are you tonight? Just hanging out in the crowd? Or do you actually want to see Jesus do something unbelievable in your life? Are you here tonight? You're like, I'm not just satisfied with just like hearing about Jesus. I legitimately want to see the Son of God, the Savior of the universe, do something unbelievable in me. Then have the faith and reach out. See, the thing about the fringe on their robes was that they were way down, like hanging low. And so for this woman to even be able to reach that, she would have had to bow down. Maybe even get on her knees to be able to get down there to reach that, to touch that. This woman came with humility in her heart, bent down before Jesus, realizing, listen, I can't do this. I've paid every doctor, everything that I have. I have nothing left, and it's been 12 years, and I'm not healed. There's nothing any man could possibly do for me. I'm falling on my face before Jesus and just reaching out and praying that just touching him is going to do something. Man, some of you guys tonight might feel that way. You might bring a hurt with you tonight where it's like, I don't know what else to do. I don't know how to make this go away. Every time I go home, my house is just full of just pain. Like if you only knew what my family was going through right now. Or how this friend has hurt me in a way you just don't even know. This person that's sick in my life that I love so much. This family member that's stuck in a hospital bed somewhere. Y'all, we don't even know the stories of the people sitting around us fully. Sometimes we think we do, but if you really knew the hurt that everyone in this room carries with us, I think it would change the way we look at each other. But thing that we all have in common is that we all need Jesus. We all need to fall on our knees before him and say, I can't do this. I can't fix this problem. There's no one who can help. No amount of money is going to change the hurt that I'm feeling right now. But I'll show faith. On my knees, humbly before you, Jesus, I will reach out. I'm not just going to bump into you. I am intentionally reaching out and grabbing your garment and begging you, would you heal me? Would you take the hurt? Jesus says he'll take it and he'll make it his own if you trust him. But he tends to show up and answer prayer in the middle of your faith. What if we don't choose faithfulness, but not like this lady, right? What if instead we choose the hard way? See, God does this really awesome thing. It's called grace. And he tends to chase us down sometimes when we're not doing the thing he's telling us we need the most. We see a story you guys know very well, probably the story of Jonah. And Jonah, dude, Jonah is like the perfect example of a runner. The dude's just like, I'm out. I'm not doing what God's telling me to do. Jonah 2:10. It says, and the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Now, if you don't know the story, and I started right there in the middle, you'd be like, what? Like, you know the story of Jonah, though. God's like, hey, go to this place called Nineveh. It's this unbelievable city that made New York City look like this tiny little backwoods town, all right? Nineveh had all the money and all of the influence and everything. It was massive. It took days to walk through it from one side to the other. And they were very corrupt. It was a disgusting place that had nothing to do with God. And God's like, I'm going to destroy them. So Jonah, since you're my prophet, you're going to go there and you're going to go march in and you're going to tell them that I'm going to destroy all of them if they don't repent. Jonah's like, well, all right, no, that doesn't sound, that's not what I'm going to do. I'm actually going to get on a boat and go the other way. And God's like, no, you're not. You're not going to run. He sends the storm and the sailors come together and draw straws to see who's actually the one causing it. And like, boom, he draws the wrong straw and he gets tossed overboard. So Jonah goes in the water and this God sends this big fish. Could have been a whale. Could have been an actual fish. It's a big fish. It comes up and it swallows him. And he stays in its belly for days. Look at what it says next in chapter 3. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. He had just got spit up, right, on the shore. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. What? What? All he did was walk in for a day worth of walk and yell out, hey, he's going to destroy you in 40 days. And it says immediately, and they believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation published throughout all of Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we might not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented. He relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Why? You go to New York City tomorrow. God's like, hey, listen, I want you to go walk through New York City. Go right to the center of the city, and I want you just to start yelling out on the sidewalks, hey, everybody, repent, or God's going to destroy you in 40 days. Think that's going to work? Like, why are they going to listen to you? Like, there are people, this is a big city. Imagine there are people selling things up and down the sides of the streets. People are doing songs with their hat out so they get money. You know, like that whole deal. Like, all this craziness is happening. People are just doing things, yelling things. There's activity everywhere. Nobody's listening to anybody. Never mind you screaming in a street and reaching all the way up to a king in a castle. How is it that he just walks in, screams this thing out, and everybody, the entire city, and their animals, which is weird, but they're animals too, they all repent. So much that they fast. They don't eat any food, drink any water, nothing. They put this like scratchy cloth on to signify that they were in a state of grieving or mourning, like when someone dies. They put ashes on to signify so people would see them and say, wow, they must have lost someone dear to them. And really what they were saying was, we're grieving our sin. We're grieving like what we've done to God. This is us repenting before God. And listen, why? Jonah's just some random dude from nowhere who just comes in and starts yelling in the middle of the city. Didn't even want to do what God told him to do. He tried to run. There's something you need to know about the people of Nineveh. Their God's name was Oannes. And he was a fish god. He looked like a fish, but he had a man's head. when Jonah rolls up onto the shore, this massive either whale or fish or whatever this thing was, comes up onto the shore and beaches itself on this packed seashore where people are fishing and boating, doing all these things, right? This is an active, bustling city. It comes up. Everyone's going, what in the world? Most people probably hadn't even seen that happen, right? This massive fish just comes out of the water and lays there. And then all of a sudden, this man comes up out of his mouth. And all they're thinking is that our God? Literally, like, they're thinking, we worship a God that looks exactly like this, and this dude just comes up out of his mouth. Like, this must be our God, Oannes. And instead of being the God, Oannes, they hear something completely different. They hear Jonah preaching the truth of who the true God is. As if to say, forget your God. Oannes has no power. Look at what God, the real God, has actually done. Those people that are crowded around watching this happen immediately run off and tell everybody in Nineveh. Word is spreading before Jonah even gets a day in. The whole city probably already knows. They're thinking, where is this fish god guy coming from and what is he saying? Like, the dude who just came up in a fish and just jumped out of a fish's mouth, where is he? And they're like, oh, I know, he's on that street right now. I bet they were almost following this guy around the city. And so when he finally stops and screams out this message, everyone's like, we're all listening to this. Every single one of us is going to listen and do this. Even the king who had already had his people go tell him what was going on, because the second that fish rolled up on the seashore, oh, the king knew. People were telling him. It's like, all of us, I'm decreeing the entire city, we're going to follow this God. He's the true God. All because Jonah ran. Right? In the middle of him trying to be disobedient to God, God's like, I'm going to take your disobedience and turn it into faith. Tonight, you might be sitting here going, it hurts so much, I don't even know how I can obey God right now. Listen, God's going to keep chasing you. God can even turn your disobedience or your hard heart tonight or whatever's going on in there, he can still turn it and use it for his good. He did with Jonah. This entire city comes to know God and follow him. You know why? Because it proves to us that God is in control. Not just sometimes, all the time, whether things look good or look bad, right? Whether you're that woman reaching out, grabbing the robe of Jesus and being healed, or you're Jonah running, getting swallowed by a fish, God is always in control, all the time. And the timing might seem off in your life, but God has perfect timing. As Jonah is sitting in the belly of that fish, he's probably like, what is going on? Like, I missed this. I missed it. And God's like, no, you're actually perfectly on time because I'm in control and it's my perfect timing. God chooses the right person for his purposes every single time. So if God's calling you to do a thing and you're like, man, I just don't know God if I can do this. Listen, he doesn't choose the wrong person. If he's calling you, he knows why he's done that. We also see that God can use the runners. Those of us who are scared or disobey or just want to take off in the other direction, God can use you too. He loves to use the runners. And Jonah is his perfect example. But listen, Jonah took the hard way. We don't have to. We see the example of Christ who says, listen, if you believe, if you do the thing I've called you to do and just have faith, I'll show up, I promise. You're hurting tonight and you're trying to fix that hurt yourself. Trying to take care of your own problem. That friend who stabbed you in the back and you're going to fix it by gossiping and doing the same thing and working and manipulating people to make them pay. Like, that's not going to work. Whatever the thing is in your life that you're trying to do on your own, Jesus is like, it's your faith and your trust in me that I want to take and use. And I want to do something beautiful. I want to do the miracle. I want to answer the prayer. I want to heal your heart. I want to take away your pain. But I want to use it in the process to grow you. Listen, if your life was a movie, just imagine your life as this movie, right? Everything that's going on, like, in your life right now, there is this audience all around you. And they're watching. They're watching you live and make decisions and make choices and go through life. And they're watching you as if like you are the movie. And as you live, they're watching that. And I wonder, right, if we just stopped right now at this point of your life, right where you are tonight, and we listen to the audience, I wonder what they'd be saying. You know how like in movies, especially like scary movies, you hear like, you're always sitting on the edge of your seat and you yell things, right? You like talk to the people in the movie. You're like, he's hiding in the closet with a chainsaw, run! You know, like one of those, like you want to scream out and like help them. Like, why are you so dumb? Don't go in that door. Like you want to yell things, right? Leave that girl, she's cheating on you. She's going to break your heart. You know, when you watch like the romantic movies that make you cry, like you're one of those, or like, that friend's going to stab you in the back. Just run. It's one of those. What if your life was one of those right now? And the audience is screaming something at you at this point in your life. Imagine what the audience is screaming at Jonah. Maybe what you and I would scream at him tonight is like, just obey God, bro. Just go to Nineveh. Just trust God. Be screaming it, hoping he would hear it. What would they be screaming at you? What is the audience yelling out to you tonight? What if God is that audience? The Lord himself is screaming out to you. He's like, listen, would you just bow down? Would you just reach out in faith and grab the hem of my robe? Would you just ask me in faith so I can use that and do something beautiful in your life and take your pain away and do this miracle in you? I wonder what he'd be yelling. I wonder what tonight the Holy Spirit might even be just whispering in your ear and in your heart tonight. And I wonder if you'd be willing to listen. Would you have an open enough heart to say, God, if you're speaking, I want to hear it. I want you to do a thing to change me. I want you to heal me, and I know I can't do it on my own. So here I go. I'm going to bow down here, and I'm going to reach out intentionally, and I'm going to trust in faith tonight that you're the only one that can do this. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me tonight? Man, I believe in a room this size, there are some people here that have brought some pain. You're carrying some things that you need Jesus to heal tonight. I bet many of us here tonight are going through some things that we would say, if we're actually honest, like, yeah, man, like that is a real thing that's hurting me tonight. It's distracting me. Sometimes it feels crippling when we're hurting enough. And maybe tonight you're carrying that. Maybe that's you. And you might have even tried to fix it yourself a bunch of different ways and a bunch of different times. But I wonder tonight if you'd be willing to reach back in faith and say, God, tonight, like, I need you to handle this thing in me. I need you to step into my family and heal my family tonight. Heal my friendship that's broken. Heal this relationship that's broken. God, I need you just to reach in my own broken heart tonight. Done doing it on my own. Man, if that's you tonight, would you just do me a favor? I don't want you to leave here without me getting to pray for you. I believe that if we stop right now and we pray and we ask God to do this, he will listen, he will hear, and he will take it seriously. So if that's you tonight, you say, I could use a prayer tonight. Would you just pray for me right now? Like, I'm hurting. I got some stuff I'm dealing with. My heart's broke tonight. And I want to reach out in faith tonight and say, God, this is me touching the hem of your robe. Heal me. If that's you tonight, would you just slip your hand up? In a moment of honesty, say, I'm carrying some stuff and I could use a prayer tonight, Rob. Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. Anybody else? You join us with our hands up tonight and say, I could use a prayer for healing. Thank you guys for being honest tonight. Let me pray for you right now. Father, we admit we can't fix things on our own like this. And you see the hands, Lord, I don't know every situation, but you do. And I pray that whatever hurt was brought into this room, whatever hurt's going to be taken out those back doors right now when we leave, that we can now take it and we can set it at your feet and we can trust you. God, that we would reach out in faith because we believe that in the middle of that faith is where you want to do that miracle, where you want to answer that prayer, where you want to heal us. And so, God, we're saying, do it. This is us reaching out. For those who raise their hands, that's their act of faith to say, God, I need you to do this. I'm humbly asking you, Lord, will you heal their heart? Will you step into their life and use their situation, whatever they're going through, to grow them right now? Make them more like you. But Father, would you grant them healing? Would you take away their pain and their suffering? God, would you help them see your face like they've never seen it before and fall so deeply in love with you and what you're doing for them? Jesus, tonight we confess we need you and we love you. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.